Our next speaker previously served as the Chief of Staff for Senator Chuck Grassley and is now an influential member of the House Appropriations Committee. As a representative of the 3rd District for the state of Iowa, he recently, back in April of 2016, I don't remember when the last time this happened, a member of Congress just came by the National Center for the Blind for a visit. Not only did he do that, but he recently came to our Des Moines chapter meeting. We also know him as the sponsor of H.R. 1734, the Access Technology Affordability Act. But we also know him as a co-sponsor of H.R. 1772, the Accessible Instructional Materials and Post-Secondary Education. But wait a minute, there's more. He is also a co-sponsor of H.R. 1377, the Transitioning to Integrated and Meaningful Employment Act. And in the state of Iowa, that's what they call clearing the field. Please welcome Congressman David Young.
Wow, what a group. What a good-looking group you are, let me tell you that right now. Thank you for the kind introduction, Mark, and for the opportunity to join with you all this evening. It's an honor to be here. In fact, I'm very humbled to have been asked to address the National Federation of the Blind's Convention. Now, I have the privilege of representing Iowa's 3rd Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Where are all the Iowans here? There we are. Now, we may be few, but we are mighty, folks. I'll tell you that right now. I'm serving in my second term in Congress, and from the beginning, I've been glad to be a friend to the National Federation of the Blind, and I've even made it a priority, like Mark said, to visit your headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland. First, I want to congratulate you all on another successful convention, and thank goodness for the modern amenity of air conditioning. This important event sets the stage for your organization, leadership, and the policies important to you and ultimately all of our communities. I also want to thank your government affairs team and advocates in Iowa, Mark, Jared. You got a great team helping to advance our goals in Congress. They represent you with passion, integrity, and they are constructive by identifying problems and offering solutions. It's easy to just point to a problem. We need more problem solvers, and thank you for being part of that. Now, when meeting with Iowans, I often share with them the large quote etched into stone that takes up about half of the outside of the Newseum building in Washington, D.C. Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, unquote. An important aspect and part of our First Amendment, in my opinion, that isn't stressed enough is the right of the people, all the people, to petition the government, your government. Without petitioning your government, how would you ever be heard when it comes to implementing policies and laws that affect your lives? These are our rights, of course, established by the First Amendment to our Constitution. And at this convention, you're witnessing these rights move from paper and history into action. And I applaud you all for taking part in this important process and ultimately our representative government. And representative government is a two-way street. It's not a one-way boulevard. It's the people and those who represent them. And don't forget who the bosses are, the people. As I mentioned, I'm in my second term in the U.S. House of Representatives. I ran for office because, like most of my colleagues, I hope, I saw the challenges our communities were facing, and I felt compelled to serve and work to bring Iowa's voice and values to Washington. It's pretty simple. I love this country. I love her people, and I know you do too. And I want to ensure the rights, liberties, and freedoms given to us by God are preserved and defended for all, now and for generations to come. I think that's what kind of motivates us all to act in one way. We're moved, we feel compassion, or just passion maybe. Maybe we're inspired, or maybe we see something wrong with the way things are, and we want to fix it and be part of a solution. That's why you're all here, and that's why I'm here. Our personal life experiences, the highs and lows, the victories and defeats, the challenges we face, or the situations our family, friends, and neighbors experience, drive us and demand of us that we take action. What first led me to be conscious of issues affecting the blind is personal. My father developed glaucoma in his 30s. His sight is deteriorating. He's had 12 surgeries on his eyes altogether. I advocate for him, and I advocate for you. And after being elected to Congress, I made a commitment to visit with my constituents, my bosses, in each of the 3rd District's 16 counties every month. I believe to serve as an effective representative of my bosses, my constituents, regardless of political party or ideological spectrum, it's important to meet with them and get to know their successes and their challenges, hopes, criticisms, ideas, and solutions, and carry this with me to Congress to put a human face on issues where they can be personalized. This has been one of my joys of my job, getting to know those I represent. So when I first started about 4 years ago running for office, a woman named Sharon Omvig reached out to me with a message to call her. I called her. She told me about her husband, James, his blindness, his advocacy, his history, and her history and advocacy too for the blind. And after being silent and listening to Sharon for 15 minutes on the phone, and when Sharon talks, you better listen, she asked me, "Now, what are you going to do to make sure the voices of the blind are heard?" And then there was a long pause on my end. "I want to meet with you," I said, "and your husband, James, and anyone else you might want to invite," I said. "I want to know more," I said. And then there was another pause, a long one, this time on her end. Now, I don't know if Sharon paused because she was taken aback or surprised I wanted to get together in person, or if she just needed to take a big drink of water from her throat being parched for talking to me for 15 minutes in one breath, or so it seemed. But not too long after that, Sharon, James, and some others got together at the Omvigs. This is where we gathered. I asked questions, but did more listening. We got to know one another, talked about family, about faith. We laughed, ate some awesome desserts. And upon departing that night, the Omvigs and the others asked me 2 questions. If elected, would I go to Baltimore and visit the National Federation of the Blind? "Yes, of course," I said, and I did. "And would I advocate for those who are blind?" I said yes to both questions. As you all know, the challenges were presented, The challenges we're presented with don't define us, right? They don't define who we are. It's how we meet these challenges that matters, and we're made better together along the way. For me, my faith in God gives me strength to meet challenges, and then working in relationships with others. Our country and our communities face many challenges together, and we must meet them together. The advancements of new technologies has been a huge benefit for us, but has also posed some hurdles. Government can be helpful, but also must be made accountable as well. Earlier this year, I wrote a letter to the Department of Defense about their new electronic health record system and asking for assurances they're committed to ensuring the new program will be able to accommodate the department's employees and our veterans who are blind. I was glad the Department of Defense recognized the importance of unimpeded access and assured me they would be compliant. We'll keep them accountable. When I met with your organization earlier this year, you educated me about another important access issue. You shared with me how critical and expensive access to technology is for you. For many, this equipment can be financially unattainable, ranging anywhere from $1,000 to $6,000. This can be especially debilitating when you consider nearly 60% of Americans who are blind are unemployed. Financial status should not be a barrier for anyone to have the freedom to live and be independent and lead a productive life. I was proud to work with you to introduce the Access Technology Affordability Act, H.R. 1734. Through refundable tax credits, up to $2,500 over a three-year period, this important bill will help empower blind Americans by easing access to important and useful tools. I introduced this bill jointly with my Democrat colleague from California, Lucille Roybal-Allard. It's a bipartisan issue. This morning you may have heard from Representative Val Demings, whose office is right next to me in the Cannon Building in the House of Representatives, and I'm glad that she's a sponsor of this bill as well. This act continues to get bipartisan support and was introduced as well in a bipartisan manner in the U.S. Senate. I'm also a proud co-sponsor of the TIME Act, H.R. 1377. To ensure employers aren't paying workers with disabilities sub-minimum wages, and the AIM High Act to help students who are blind get needed access to course materials. With your help, we can continue to get more support for these bills. I urge you to exercise that First Amendment right of petitioning your government. Get the representatives from your districts on these bills. Demand a personal meeting with your representative. Exercise that First Amendment right of petitioning your government. I also want to update you on the e-reader program. In Congress, I serve on the House Appropriations Committee, and the subcommittee is on agriculture, transportation, housing, and financial services and general government, which has jurisdiction over the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. This year, by working with my colleagues, I was able to include language in the bill requiring the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped to share with Congress the results of the Braille e-reader program so we can scale this program up at our libraries and improve access for Americans who are blind nationwide. When we receive those results, we can analyze the situation and request the appropriate funding to strengthen this important program. And through the Transportation Subcommittee, we've been discussing autonomous vehicles. Folks, the future is really here. These vehicles provide new opportunities for the blind and disabled populations, and I've been working with my colleagues to ensure your voice is heard as we continue evaluating this emerging technology. For those of you who don't know, the 3rd District of Iowa includes the most populated and least populated counties in the state. And looking at how to effectively address transit needs in rural and urban areas are interesting, and they differ greatly. For Iowans who are blind and living in rural areas or anywhere else in this country, public transportation is difficult to find and too often not dependable. So as I continue to serve on the Appropriations Committee, one of my priorities will be improving our public transportation for everyone and ensuring the safety and access of new technologies in transportation. I know for some, the issues we're facing as a country seem overwhelming. It can seem as though there's no desire for any kind of bipartisanship or dedication from those in Congress to work together to develop solutions. What you may not know from the news media is about 90% of the work Congress does is bipartisan. The issues I've just mentioned to you are bipartisan. This is possible because of folks like you who demand accountability with government by petitioning your government. I saw the title for my portion of the program that reads, A Champion for the Blind of the United States Congress, and I was very humbled to read that, but I don't think I deserve it. But I want you to know it's been through your work and dedication to these issues that we've come this far together. And let's keep going. It's you who are the champions. You are my champion. As I've mentioned, blind and sighted, we all face unique challenges, and we all have something motivating us to find solutions. But when we come together, share our experiences, and work toward the same goal, we can accomplish a great deal. You should be proud of the work you've done to accomplish the goals of the National Federation of the Blind. I know I'm proud to stand here as a partner in Congress and as your friend. And know that my advocacy for you and my love for you all comes from God. Without Him and His love, I would not be in front of you here today working on your issues and advocating for you. Thank you again for letting me be a part of your convention. It truly is a joy. Let's keep the momentum going. May God bless you and show you great favor. Thank you very much.